Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Mobile Figus Studio Suzy Q Booth Extravaganza! Smurf here for this week's 5280 Geek Weekend Geek Update. As promised, we bring you none other than our sponsor, the Ematic, the wonderful, the beautiful, and incredibly talented Suzy Q.
Hi, everyone.
Look at this spread. And she fed us, too. It was fantastic.
Delicioso.
I actually have a question for you guys. The last weekend update, I was compared to a bakery snack.
Yes.
What's that all about?
You're scrumptious.
Oh, thank you.
I don't have anything written down for your intro.
Right.
I literally make it up as I go. I know as impossible as that sounds, I really do make it up as I go.
That's okay.
So whatever I may be thinking at the time or have watched that week somehow gets translated into your intro.
Hey, that's all right. That's cool.
So I don't know what else to do. We can give you a title. Do you want a standard intro?
No, we're fine.
Bubbly and poppy and just like sporadic. I would not want to confine you.
That's all right. We're good.
To a set standard. So everyone, this is Suzy. You have heard lots and lots about her from me, from Red, from just about everybody that's been associated with the cast.
Yeah, no pressure.
No pressure at all. So as you can tell, if you are not listening to this, go to the 5280 Geek YouTube channel, and you can see the wondrous outfit that Suzy made. You've made all of this. You are very TARDIS-y today.
I am very TARDIS-y. This is kind of my standard. This is my first Condé outfit. Yeah, I couldn't decide between my Avengers outfit or this one.
I think this is way... I think this is way better than the Avengers.
They've got some TARDISes here. And
super impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
You could sell this. You know that, right?
Legit.
I could, but it's somebody else's pattern, and I don't like to rip other people off. So
because it's got even like Gallifreyan language on it, the sign of the Time Lords.
Yeah.
I'm very. What do you know? What this says?
I think it's just Dr. Ten's name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I know there's actually like a dialect. People like translated my name into Whovian, and I was like, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm not literate in Gallifreyan, so I think it's just Dr. Ten.
We just really blow him away with like our level of geek. He's like, huh?
I don't know shit about
today. That's why I was tardy.
Oh. And for those listening at home, we have PJ and, of course, the Wakeman. We would be incomplete without our little wonderful cameraman Wakeman. No, this is perfect because they just did a animated second Doctor special on BBC the other night.
I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
No spoilers. It's really hard to spoil like Troughton's stuff because there's nothing of it.
The thing I love about this outfit, it's not totally off the wall. I wore it when I met David Tennant, who is rad beyond all belief, and did his creepy Kilgrave voice for me.
Ooh.
So, yeah, he was really in awe of this. And like PJ, he's like, oh, do you sell these? Do you make these? And no, it's somebody else's pattern. Hmm. So,
have you been watching Staged?
No.
It's on Hulu now.
Is it?
Yeah, so you don't get like the little bits and pieces of him and Michael going back and forth.
I love them in Good Omens, which is seriously one of my favorite books. And so to see that come to life, and that was unbelievable.
Well, when you got the two of them like arguing, they've done two seasons, and the second season is Whoopi Goldberg tells them that they want to redo it, but they want to cast Americans. And Michael Sheen is just like, oh, well, that sucks.
Right. It wouldn't be the same without them. They're so funny.
I think they're great together. That's the only reason I'm watching Prodigal Son.
I really love the bits with Georgia as well. She doesn't get enough credit.
No, she does not.
So, yeah.
She's like the unsung kind of nerd that helps keep his show going.
Yeah, and I like how she doesn't take his crap.
No.
There always has to be the
balance.
The yin to the yang. Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I would need someone like on the other side to keep me like from completely going off to the other side.
Me.
And you've got Jeremy.
I do have Jeremy.
Jeremy is your rock.
He is.
Jeremy, you see more at the booth than you do when you do cons.
Yes.
Because we know what you're doing. So for those at home who don't know any better, Susie, how many cons a year did you average before Rona?
We were doing 5, but it was always...
That's a lot.
It was a lot. I was on the road a lot. And honestly, like, I love seeing everybody at the shows. I love doing the cons and getting to visit with everybody. But I am not built to be on the road. So we were
You want your comfy pillow.
Right.
You want
right. I love my dog. I love my couch. So we were going to cut back to 3 anyway. And okay. It's hard to find helpers who can take a week because we have to drive.
Where yeah, it's go. Not. It's so, an entirely different lifestyle.
And Jeremy has a real grown-up job. He doesn't.
Yeah, he's responsible.
Yeah, so he can't always come with me. But you know, we've dragged my mom along. We've dragged my dad along. Like, I just grab people out of their beds. Like, you're coming on the road with me, and
you're like Krampus. It's great.
Yeah. So Jeremy's thing is, he says, by the time we get to the con, I've done all of my work.
Right.
And so I should be out talking to people and hanging out with my friends. And you will know Jeremy because he's got this superpower, which I cannot repeat because it just looks really creepy when I do it. But he can see someone coming up the aisle and identify which bracelet or necklace or barrette and which color they want. And he just reaches in and hands it to them. And I swear they buy it. It's magic. But when I do it, it looks really creepy.
Do you really? Was it your table? I think it was at one of the Denver Comic Cons. Because Red was sat behind your table.
Yeah.
And she watched his superpower in action. And she felt pissed. Because she couldn't sell anything at the table. It's like the only table Red sat at that she didn't sell something at.
Yeah.
She sat in it like 5 different booths. Because, you know, like... Susie, do the rounds. We go and talk to everybody. And Red sits behind the table and, like, sells people shit for them.
She does.
But she was pissed because Jeremy's superpower blocked her superpower.
Yeah.
There can be only
there
one.
There can be only one. I'm surprised there was a sword fight in the booth. yeah, it was... I don't know. I can't repeat it. Nobody can. My mother tried at Phoenix Comic Fest 1 year, and, like, people started... going around our booth because it only works when Jeremy does it. And, you know, my mom's a little cotton top little lady,
right. So
the most non-threatening creature on earth. And still, I don't know. It's something about, I don't know. It's because he's so quiet.
He is the silent, silent kung fu master over there.
He is
the silent master out of G.I. Joe. Really is.
See him, like, this fucking guy knows what's going on.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's just got the wisdom in his eyes.
That genuine quality.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's like, you're
going to
get this, you're
going to
fly tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The je
ne sais quoi. He sold, like, a whole set of black and red things to a harlequin who had proclaimed loudly upon arriving at her booth that she wasn't going to buy anything.
Oh, that's an open invitation.
And I don't think he said a word to her. He just kept handing her things, and she put him on. And so I know.
The silent strike over there.
No, so I know it says my name here, but we're really a two person band.
Well, it's a team. It's a team act.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, your favorite con of all time?
My favorite con of all time was Emerald City Comic Con 2018. That was our first time there. And we just lived it up. I had an ad in their program, and so everybody was coming to find us. And they put us in this really spectacular location. It was on the edge, which normally people are like, why are you on the edge? We were 5 steps from the bathroom.
Okay.
And the whole aisle, the whole rest of the aisle was a section that they call homegrown.
Oh, okay. And it's all hometown,
mm-hmm. handmade. And so whoever did the setup that year recognized that everything here was handmade. And so we weren't quite from the hometown, but they put us there, and we met some incredible people. We ran into old friends.
Emerald City is a good, is a very good time.
It's an excellent time. Mm-hmm. And then I'm the queen of Twin Peaks nerds. So Snoqualmie, Washington is 30 minutes outside of Seattle, and that's where they shot Twin Peaks. So we went to the hotel, and we went to the diner, and I took all my pictures, walked on the railroad tracks. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like me going to New York and getting a picture in front of the firehouse for Ghostbusters and the church. Yep, I'm with you. I get it.
The fabulous people of Snoqualmie, Washington are really indulgent with the tourists. And they, like, have maps, and they tell you where to go and, like, what time of day is best to see this and how to get this picture.
I like people like that. Yeah. At least they embrace the fandom. They're like, these people are only coming because of this. We might as well just have fun with it.
And there's a bunch of younger adults, 20s, in the Double R Diner, so they don't really know what's going on. But they're like, here, have a matchbook. Do you want some coffee? Can I give you a piece of cherry pie? And they're just so...
I was about to say, how often do you get the pie?
Well, weirdly, I don't like pie.
Gonna edit that.
we gotta go. Sorry. Well, we guess we lost our sponsor. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I just scooped out the cherry because I don't like the pie crust. So I just discreetly scooped it out of the pie crust.
And, all right.
Yeah, they're amazing. That was so fun. And obviously, I'm a crafter, so there was this really famous yarn store on Bainbridge Island, and we went to see that. And just everything about it was fantastic. It was the best.
That's super awesome. And you're right. Seattle is just fantastic by itself.
It is. And, you know, I'm a Colorado native, and Jeremy's lived here for 25 years. So we're out in Seattle. It's, you know, high 60s, and it's a little muggy, but it wasn't really raining. And we're going around without our coats, and all the locals there.
You can barely see their eyes
because they're wearing their rain hoods and everything.
Especially if you're down by the wharf where all the boats are coming in, especially if they're coming in from across the island because they've got the ferries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like an entirely other adventure waiting to happen. But everyone is just like Nanook of the North. They're all just wrapped up.
It's true. We were there in October for our honeymoon.
Oh, my God.
And I'm not going to lie, I had to go buy some long johns. I wasn't used to the humidity, but
that cold will bite you
right through the jeans.
Yep.
Yeah, I was like, "Woo, damn!" And we walked everywhere because
that's all you can do,
right? So I was like,
"Screw those hills in Seattle." That's all I'm saying. Just fuck.
Great for ice skating, though. Really fun.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. So you've been doing cons. Whoa.
Sorry, that's Winston.
Winston's a corgi. He's very excitable. He's a Sagittarius.
There's nothing wrong with Sagittarius.
No, there's nothing wrong with Sagittarius at all. So how long have you been doing cons? How long have you been doing this? Because this is not just like overnight you decide, I'm going to sell jewelry.
Actually, it kind of was.
Okay.
Edit that out too.
It's called a setup.
Right. We've been doing Suzy Q since 2006. I went to Starfest just to hang out and see what was up and bought something from Jen at Winter Haven Jewelry.
Right.
She was differently branded back then. But,
yep.
Then I started to obsess over it. Like, seriously, like, it was a bracelet like this, a Japanese 2 and 12 weave. So.
It looks like she just rattles that off,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like hanging around gearheads, you know. Oh, that's the oversized cam with a 455 and a split barrel carburetor.
Well, since we're here, the reason it's called a Japanese 2 and 12 weave is for every two of the large rings, there's 12 of the small rings. And the samurai used it in their armor as connective pieces. So it would have been here and here, any kind of sensitive area because...
Any exposed area that armor didn't.
Yeah, because Japanese armor is leather, so... Wow. Anyway,
that is okay. There you go. History, and I'm just absolutely blown away because I love samurai lore. I love, you know, samurais. I love ronins and daimyos, and I'm all about that whole. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so that is okay.
Yeah.
So that's something that they would find along the helmet to protect their neck and
the shoulder seams and along the sides and occasionally behind the knee, depending on what their leather armor was like. So,
gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, so I.
And how long did just this piece take you?
This piece took about 2 hours. It's about 1.5 inches wide, and it's about 8 inches long.
2 hours.
2 hours.
Because I have to open all the rings, yeah. And then
I don't know if Wakeman, you'll be able to get a shot of this, but this is intricate as shit.
Yeah. It is. It is absolutely like.
This ain't no friendship bracelet.
No.
I'll tell you that.
This isn't someone sitting there braiding a holla. You're like, wow. Okay.
So. It wasn't as wide, but I bought one like this, and I started to. I'm a computer engineer by training, like hardware engineer.
Okay.
So I have this overall compulsion to build things and take them apart.
So did you take her jewelry home and take it apart?
I totally did. I totally did. In the worst way possible, I got general pliers from Home Depot, and they're not the same kind of pliers that you would use to make chainmail.
Right.
And took it all apart. And then I had this pile of little rings and this pile of big rings, and I couldn't put it back together again. So I started asking around friends, Renaissance Festival people, and someone finally hooked me up with some instructions, and I put it back together. And Jen says it's still her bracelet, but I don't know, because I'm one of those people.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, because I'm one of those people that thinks if you use the transporter, you're gone and somebody else comes out the other side. Oh. So,
yeah. I agree 100% with that theory, actually.
So I say it's her bracelet, and she says it's not. But anyway, that's how we got started. And we did, oh my gosh, we did the regular Denver craft fair scene for a couple years, because I started making so much jewelry, and we lived in this little bitty house back then.
So you basically became an addict to making jewelry.
I did.
That
I've
is
always
awesome.
Been, I've always been crafty. I've always knit or sewed or cooked and things like that.
Okay.
I mean, frankly, my budget only allowed for so many computer builds.
to so, be fair.
So this was much cheaper. It kept me out of trouble. And we just, it kind of took over our house. And Jeremy, who is super supportive in all things, came to me and said, we have 1,100 square feet, and you've filled 3. So sell it or find something else to do. He was much more finessed about it, but that was the
The silent sell, I'm sure. Yeah. Just totally, yep.
So we did a couple of local things, and then we started doing things throughout Denver. And that was so bad.
Well, Denver's like such a weird collage, depending upon what con you're at and what part of town you're doing. And it's just, it's great, but in some parts, it's just a pain in the ass.
Well, mm-hmm. we're not the right fit for the general craft fair scene. Like, we're a very niche. I mean, I think my stuff is really beautiful and easy, and you can wear it just in your life.
I think so.
Absolutely. But... you know, not everybody gets it. And so, like, you guys...
I don't know if there's anything really to get. I mean, I think it's actually very beautiful, very, very attractive. I mean, Red loves your... I mean, you've seen her always wearing...
Yeah, she wears
them
all the time.
Yes, those orange earrings, which are down at the end of the booth, mm-hmm. that she always is sporting. It's, like, one of her favorite pieces.
And we do great with our people,
right.
with the nerds and the congoers and people who are into that. But, you know, on Tennyson Street, that was just brutal. We live a long way from Tennyson Street, and so we'd have to get up before dawn and pack everything in and stand there for 12 or 15 hours in a parking lot. And so we're definitely better off in the con scene.
I think so.
Yeah, we like it better. We did some amazing gigs. There used to be this show that we did every Sunday morning at Jonesy's Eat Bar. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was this restaurant called Jonesy's Eat Bar, and they did craft brunch. And so it was all kinds of local handmaker people, and you would just set up in a booth. And bless those people, they would bring you a pitcher. They would bring you a pitcher of...
Mimosa Sundays, here we come.
Yes, and so... And then was a live DJ, and awesome. I don't remember his name right now, but I know you know him. He's got that hot pink mohawk. Aaron, oh shoot, I don't remember. I'm so sorry, I don't remember.
Aaron
not, with a hot pink mohawk.
It's not Bob?
Rockstar Aaron.
Oh, I do know Rockstar Aaron.
Yeah,
all right,
I'm
with you.
And he would bring his gear, and he would DJ live, and basically people who came to Jonesy's for brunch would pop their head in the dining room and look around, but it was really just other vendors drinking mimosas all morning. And I met some rad people doing that. We didn't make very much money in those days, but
who
we
cares?
Made some waffles
you got
and,
some yeah. booze and some food. Waffles are great. I can't
bring it back.
That was
back.
Great. Yeah. It was fun. And really everybody's booth was in a little restaurant booth, and you would bring your stuff, and
that's
that was
cool.
fun.
I'm sold. It's like drink and draw.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds exactly
it
like drink and draw.
It is like drink and draw. That was so fun. That was great.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
I'm sure everyone at home is just saying, why don't you just do it yourself? We could do
we
that.
Could
yeah.
do,
we
you
could do
You have
that.
A friend who has a brewery.
I have. We do have a friend that has a brewery. Actually, you know what? In fact, this is... Jeremy is very... I wouldn't say fixated, but he is very excited about you.
Is he?
Yes, because he...
That's good.
Because he's all like... So she's really a blacksmith. So this is a perfect segue into the next few questions. Because he's all like, so legitimately, she's a blacksmith. And he came up to me, and that was like out of his mouth first.
Right.
He's all like, so you're telling me that she's really a blacksmith.
I
hadn't even started the interview with him when we were up there last. Mm-hmm. And he's all, he just was so inquisitive about you. So walk us through, I mean, because that's... I mean, it's no small feat to become a blacksmith.
It's not. And I need to be really clear and up front. I am not a great blacksmith. I'm still...
But you are still a blacksmith.
I'm a very, very, very entry-level blacksmith. And my blacksmithing skills are limited to hinge making. Like, I can make you some hinges.
You've got chainmail over there, all right?
I can take the ingot and draw the wire and turn it into the chainmail. But those are very, like, that's it.
That
like,
all
I
sounds impressive to me. Like, none of that made any sense to me. That sounds absolutely cool.
I'm serious.
I have to retie this boot, like, 6 times a day. Like, and you're making fucking bracelets.
I know.
Metal.
Out of metal.
I had a great teacher in Bryce White.
Okay.
Look him up. He is fantastic. And he's up in Arvada, I believe. And he's got his own shop. And he just taught me everything. It's not as glamorous as it sounds. I'm a really good hinge maker because that is entry-level blacksmithing. They hand you a bunch of hinges and you've got to use the hacksaw and cut them apart. But like anything, you pay your dues. I mean,
you don't jump on jet engines right away when you become an airplane mechanic.
Right.
Yeah, and you don't just build Mjolnir.
No, you don't.
So, I mean, my...
Here, wrap this handle in leather. All right.
So, I can't make a knife. I can't make a sword. I can't even make like a fire poker. My blacksmithing skills are limited, but I do have blacksmithing skills.
And you
that's more skill than I will ever have.
Yeah. Shoe time.
Across the screen and the titles will add real blacksmith.
Just real blacksmith.
What's you said you have another title that I thought was very impressive. What was it? Master Weaver.
Yeah, I've been making chainmail so long I'm considered a master at that level. If you subscribe to Malcolm Gladwell's ideal of 10,000 hours of something and then you're a master, I hit that on both levels. There's, of course, a test and a guild and all kinds of crazy stuff. And
I was going to ask if there's a guild.
Yeah. So both. I meet both. I meet the general Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours master, and I have been tested. My mother had me tested.
Thank you, Sheldon.
Yes. So, I do belong to a national guild. It is my hope to someday make armor for a Lord of the Rings type movie.
Boom.
So
they're doing well. Right now it's 3D animated, but they're doing like a Thundercats movie.
Thundercats. Oh, fun. There's the Dungeons and Dragons
live action
that they're doing.
Plus the PJ pop culture. But I'm just kidding.
So this all just stemmed from you taking apart one person's jewelry that you're like, I can't take this. I want to do better.
No, it wasn't that I needed to do better. It was that I needed to know how it worked.
Even better.
Yeah, I needed to know how she put it together because I spent days saying, do you think she put those little rings on first or the big ones? Or how do you think this...
So there's a real science and flow to it.
There is. I do it a little differently because I'm a tiny bit bonkers. So I really do one ring at a time. It's not just my catchphrase. But there's a different style of work called a speed weaving where you put several rings together at once. That doesn't jive with my workflow, but it works really well for other people.
I honestly can only see you doing like one ring at a time because I don't know how you would do like a whole, because you'll see this in the video, but PJ got all garbed up in a full suit, and I can only imagine you doing one link at a time on that.
Yeah, that hauberk that PJ put on, that took me 6 weeks to make because I wasn't working on it full time. So obviously if I because I was making jewelry and raising a
puppy. Right, you got other stuff to do.
Yeah, so if I devoted full time to it, it probably would have taken me 2 weeks to just do flat out 8 hours a day. But,
It's super impressive.
So impressive. Yeah, 2 weeks? I would think like months.
Well, I mean, it just depends. I have the schedule flexibility to do this because Susie Q's is my job. Mm-hmm. I don't have another job, so I get to do that. But before, when I was working a full-time job, it took much longer to create everything. So,
wow. Yeah. Okay. So what's your next progression? I mean, because we've made the jokes multiple times about you having an anvil in your kitchen, which you do not.
I don't, sorry.
You have tasty tacos.
A little bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Thanks,
PJ.
Big fan, you know.
So about that next check.
Cool. Oh, then there it is. The real anvil.
So explain. So how do you get into the guild? Because, you know, I think like Dungeons and Dragons right away, you know, the Thieves Guild,
right?
You know, the Magician's Guild. I mean, you just send smoke signals. I mean, how do you get into
my original suppliers, they're actually in Canada, and there's been an ownership change. So those people aren't with that company anymore. But I asked them, is there a guild for this? Because, you know, there's a guild for everything, frankly, even now. And so they told me what to do, and I sent my application, and I sent a sample, and we just went from there. And they send tests periodically, and I need to, you know, just like any guild.
Brush up
on
your
skills. It's really not that exciting, I'm afraid.
I'm absolutely excited by it. So what is the most intricate suit, or have you done, like, a full suit? I mean, are we going to see Jeremy, like, head-to-toe samurai armor over there?
I
would love to see that, by the way.
I really like to, but I don't know any leather workers.
I do.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to do a collab and do like samurai style armor. Yeah, I'm open for it.
Yeah.
So
he's building, like, he's turning a bus into like his mobile.
Oh, that's rad.
He bought like a school bus. He lives up north.
Awesome.
Oh, all right. We're gonna make some dreams happen here.
Yeah.
I like this.
I'd love to do a collab like that. And like I said, I'd love to do larger scale costuming. That's a little bit hard to show at the con, though.
It is probably because you do Renfest, though.
For somebody else. I don't do Susie Q's at Renfest. There's two other excellent chainmailers there. And so...
And then the guild, and then you're violating some laws or something, and then you got a duel. I get it.
No, so
the
I...
Code of the guild!
Yeah, so when I'm at Renfest, I'm somebody else's minion. It's,
all right.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I may or may not have thrown roasted almonds at you. From the booth.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It rains almonds, I hear, out there. I don't know.
It does.
It's okay.
I mean, I've never done that.
Never.
That would be against the rules.
That's absolutely against the rules.
I never.
Doesn't happen.
Only turkey leg bones can you throw.
Right.
It's on the charter. It's in the charter. Yeah. So what, when you're looking, where do you get your inspiration? Because, I mean, you've got so many.
So let's start back from real, from when you said, where do you get your inspiration? Stop filming because we hit the 30-minute mark. And so in 3, 2.
So you've got so many different designs. I mean, because when you just look at this table, because this is what the majority of what you see when you come up to you at a con.
Yes.
So where do you get, like, your inspiration or your ideas for designs? Because, I mean, the necklaces, I think those are more newer.
We've had them before, but they're back.
Okay.
Because
those are cool. I love the hell out of that.
So chainmail has been around for a really long time, and there's...
The Dark Ages out here. Right.
So there's a limit to... how you can configure everything. So, okay. Honestly, there aren't very many original designs. So we just take different pieces from different things. I'm really lucky. The community that I work in is very open. It's like the Linux of crafting. And there's some nerd
there more nerd lingo at you guys.
Yeah. So there are, if you originate something, a lot of people are open to using it, and things, they just build on other things. So, like I was saying, this is a Japanese-style weave, and if you look at the necklaces, even though the rings are twisted around each other, it's the same weave. It's just different...
Mm-hmm. Just a different configuration, different knot? Because they look like a Celtic knot of some sort to
me. A little bit, yeah.
That was what I was thinking, yeah.
And these guys up front are based on a Byzantine weave. It's actually called the Byzantine weave. And so it would have been used for decoration, helmet decoration, epaulets, things like that. So not necessarily protection. And it's just the way you orient things.
Okay. Wow. Because I know the plate mail scale. Plate
I love
scale?
The scale.
Yeah. Those, I just like, I wish I had my ears pierced because I'd wear the shit out of those.
Actually, I'm working on that evening gown right now. I'm working on the cocktail dress. And so a scale mail is in my future, like a full garment in scale mail.
That will be badass.
Yeah. It's way heavier, and it makes a noise, which some people like and some people don't. So
I've been around scale mail, it does have a very discerning. You're not sneaking up on anybody in that
shit. No, it's an interesting noise. I dig it, but again,
I think it's
kind
of cool. Yeah, but I can see where someone would be like,
my cosplay mind is like going bananas right now.
Yeah, I'm looking to do more cosplay, but it's so personal. You know, you have to collab with people individually to get it right.
I'm thinking this with a classic Captain America.
Oh, you could do like the...
Oh, yeah.
Because it is actually plate mail in the comic.
It is. Yep. It is. That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. And people do all kinds of crazy things. I don't know. A few years ago, there was a guy going around in a full suit. Not like armor suit, but like... blazer and trousers, and I've made neckties before that no, it's actually really great.
Really?
Made
my neck twitch right there. I'm like,
oh. most of them are like necklaces, so there's just a clasp in the back and then the tie, a little like a clip on, and that's cool because it's a lot
cool.
of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the ones that we make actually tie, you can do a half Windsor. Because I'm nothing if not an overachiever.
That is spectacular.
So,
and Jeremy wore it to work for a long time, but we were at a drink and draw, and the tie had an accident. one of our friends was playing with it, and I don't know what possessed him, but he looped it around both hands as he was just playing with it, and all of a sudden says, how strong is this? And there was this ring of tiny rings all over the restaurant and horrified looks as the two ends of the tie just swung in the air.
And that is how he died.
No, it was an accident. Although every time we see him, there is a Hulk smash joke.
All right. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Everybody grabs their tie.
No. Don't touch my project. Love you, Nick.
Poor Nick. Yeah, he immediately. Damn it.
Right.
It's an accident.
Stop telling that story in public.
It's great. And I like the Hello Kitty.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
We do have your other Hello Kitty in the Ecto.
Yeah, so I'm all about Hello Kitty. We're a little Hello Kitty light in the living room these days, but because Grogu has taken hold. But I have what I believe, and probably is not in any way verifiable, the largest Hello Kitty collection in the Western Hemisphere.
Oh.
I have all kinds of Hello Kitty stuff, like you wouldn't believe. And
wow.
So, yeah, so she travels with us, and we gave her one to ride in the Ecto, and...
And that Hello Kitty has seen some shit that'll turn her white. I'll tell you that right now. I remember when we did the trip to the Ghostbuster 35th, mm-hmm. and sent Susie pictures of Hello Kitty
on the adventure. That was so
great. On the adventure, yeah. That's awesome. Been yeah. in the Pride Parade. She has already seen quite a lot.
More than me.
She's a great mascot. I know this will sound really Pollyanna, but. You know, the thing about Hello Kitty is that she just takes it in stride. She hangs out with her friends, and she does her thing, and she tries to bring a little bit of joy into the world. And
which is, yeah. We need more joy.
don't
get me wrong. We do need more
joy. Speaking of kitty.
Joy, uh-oh.
Did there, she? You just... Joyed it up.
Thanks.
Hello Kitty. Oh, good.
Funk. Smurf just killed Kitty.
Oh. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just like it. This is the hula.
Yeah, she's a bobblehead.
It's great.
She's a bobblehead. I'm thinking about, without getting into a whole thing, I'm thinking about getting a different kitty that's more, that's less.
There is a samurai one.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd mm-hmm. be cool. Because this kind of idea, sorry if this is too heavy, edit me out. This idea of the hula girl is entirely from the American Army.
Yes.
And it's not really representative of our Pacific Island friends.
Nope,
so
it is not.
I am looking for a new kitty. I'm auditioning new kitties.
See, and when I say that, I get slapped. I'm auditioning new kitties. Smack.
Yeah.
I can't say it. Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's your voice.
It is my voice.
This high squeaky voice, people would
But like, I've seen one where she's totally, you know, dressed up in the samurai helmet and all that.
Yeah.
I think that would be perfect.
My favorite thing are when people at the cons get to know us a little bit and they do Hello Kitty costumes, they come and find me.
They should.
I've met Hello Kitty Gandalf, Hello Kitty Samurai. Was that Hello Kitty Optimus Prime that time? Hello Kitty Optimus
wow.
Prime. And so people just know my love of kitty, and so when they do, they come and find us, and it's fantastic.
Well, I even ran into you because they do the Hello Kitty bus that tours the United States, and it went to Park Meadows, of course,
mm-hmm.
and you're like right at the front of the line.
Oh my gosh, Jeremy is so...
I want to do a Ghostbusters Hello Kitty and just show up with a Ghostbuster suited...
Yeah, I'm here for it. Yeah,
I know you would totally do it.
I was just thinking, like, with your Grogu, you could do, like, a Mando Hello Kitty.
Yeah. Oh, we've had a Mando Hello Kitty, too. Yep. And all these people they're wearing, like, bubblegum pink.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. that's really rad.
It is weird to see a Mando in bright pink.
It is.
No blood splatter. It'll be fine.
Just wipes right off.
The bow on the helmet is key.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a dead giveaway. Yeah. So which is more... Which more is your fandom? You've got Kitty, you've got Doctor,
right.
you've got your Hall of Nerd, which is probably one of the best entrance ways I've seen into a house so far.
Thanks. Yeah, we love it. I don't have a single fandom. I'm all about 90s X-Men and Star Wars. Like, those are where I really get nerdy. like
That's where she gets nerdy.
Yeah. Also, you know, my friends won't play trivia games with me, especially if it's Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, because...
I know your love for Lord of the Rings.
Lost logic. Yeah.
So, yeah, where the wheels meet the road is really Star Wars.
All right. So, out of all the new Star Wars stuff, what's your big standout?
Mando. That is... Okay, so... Poor Jeremy, he puts up with so much.
I know, Jeremy's just sitting, I feel bad. I feel like we should be talking to Jeremy, but he's just sitting there having fun with the dog and just enjoying.
I'm sorry, I have to say this, so I'm sorry if it's a spoiler, but as soon as I saw the blue Mando helmets in season 2, I'm sorry, PJ, I'd be like, oh, it's Bo-Katan! It's Bo-Katan, Jeremy, oh my God.
I did the exact same thing.
So that is really amazing. I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I did love the new sequels.
I mean, yes and no. There were some great elements. I never thought I'd see an X-Wing, you know, spin out.
Right?
That was unusual. But see, my love and favorite thing is just the sound of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
There's just something about the afterburners kicking in and the Falcon just doing a flyby. I totally dig that. Yeah, I know.
And you turn up the bass, yes. And it just...
Yeah. Oh, I have two subwoofers at home.
Yeah, yeah.
That run in tandem.
Amazing. And I'm super excited for everything Disney Plus is doing. I'm just kind of in awe of Star Wars and Marvel right now, too, because I was a comic book reading kid and never...
And a skateboarding kid, too.
Yeah, and never in my wildest dreams did I think that we would see Guardians or Avengers or... You know, Winter Soldier and the Falcon is so amazing.
Have you watched the first two episodes?
I have. And WandaVision. I mean, these things, I never thought... You know, I'm of the age where we used to read Wizard Magazine and do fan casting of X-Men. So
Patrick Stewart was always Professor X, which all of us laughed. Wolverine varied, but yes. Because De Niro, for the longest time, I honestly thought they would get him to do... Wolverine. He was like the front runner in Wizard for a while.
Yeah.
Too bad. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Cocaine. Cocaine has wrecked many a career.
So, yeah, I'm just changing the subject. I'm loving this. We were watching Guardians the other night, and, you know, they mention Adam Warlock, and I'm all, like, crazy about, I mean, how many girls do you know that are like, Adam Warlock?
Yeah.
So
hell, half of them don't even know who Adam Warlock is. If I brought that name up, everyone would just be like, you know, I still get a glazed look from fans. Like, who's Adam Warlock?
Yeah, so I'm just in total awe that these characters have come to life. Like, and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Well, yeah, you got like all the B-leaguers. I never thought in a million years I would get a Spider-Ham. I mean, never. I mean, just on the outside, Spider-Ham. Seriously, how are you going to work that in? I'll smack my ass and make me a ham sandwich, because there it is.
There it is.
Wow. And then Howard the Duck.
I know. I get really nerdy about that.
Yeah. That one, I'm just like, okay. And now we got Rocket, who, huge Rocket fan.
Dude, I just bought first appearance of Rocket.
Oh, out of the Hulk?
I know it's going to blow up.
Yeah.
It's going to go more. And then you've got his four-issue limited series that Magnolia did. Mm-hmm. Hellboy artist. That's his first appearance in Marvel. So, yeah, that was in, like, the quarter bin for years upon years. And then all of a sudden, Rocket comes in. And
same with Spider-Man.
Boom. Yeah. Same with Spider-Man. That was a kid's book.
Everybody's like, EC. This is so dumb.
Marvel EC. Yep, that was just throwaways.
Yeah. Now it's my favorite.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there was a comic store down the street from my house when I was a kid. So there was a diner and a comic store and a movie theater. And it was too far for me to walk at a young age because it crossed a busy main street. Yeah. But my dad would take me down there. And I mentioned this earlier. I'm so fortunate to be in a community where so many women feel like they aren't welcome. And I have never experienced that. So I'm just so grateful. I was never the standout at the comic shop. Other than some of my inflammatory opinions, but you know, it was just I never experienced that, and I'm lucky, and I want to. That's one of the reasons we do the cons, is so that we can talk to other people and say there is a place for you here. There, you know, you can make your art, whatever it is. You can draw. You can make things. You can do voice acting, and there is a place for you, no matter who you are.
There's only one shop that Red won't go in because of the mouth breathers.
Yeah,
that's it. Everyone, everywhere else that we've gone for like a comic shop in town, she's pretty solid with.
I'm fucking working on it, bro.
Yeah, my shoulder's getting a little warm now.
Moist.
Well, it also. You know, I don't want to speak for Red, but I had a reputation growing up as being tough that I wouldn't take that. I know it's funny with the squeaky voice and the pink
hair. I wouldn't cross you. But, I want my ass kicked.
I had a reputation for being tough. So even if there were guys out there that were going to give me a hard time,
right.
They didn't get a chance. Also, our community we're like siblings. Like, I am surrounded by brothers, which mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for. And if anybody said a wrong word, there would be three guys to come and give him a pounding after I finished. So, yeah.
She's just, done with you. Get ready.
It's a, yeah.
Never. Yeah. And then you lost your old slot.
Yeah.
That's the end of my old slot.
Yeah, we had it was a great store, and they introduced me to so many things. I remember negotiating with the guy over the first issue of Sandman because I was 9.
And now you're friends with them.
Well,
I mean, you're on a first name basis, and he does recognize you.
Yes, yes.
It's not like, you know, we were talking about this earlier, like going to a con and they know you. They recognize you, but they don't know your name.
Right.
Because I've had that happen a couple of times. Rob Polson, he knows me.
Yeah.
But it takes him a second to recognize. Okay, yeah, Smurf. Yeah. Right. Takes a minute.
I have this, like, similar experience, except they're like, that guy fucking maced that guy. Like, I told him he can't come here anymore.
But you are on a first name basis.
Well,
with him.
You know, I worked at the big local bookstore here in Denver, and so we did a lot of signings, and Neil was one of them. Mm-hmm. And so I got to tell him that story about negotiating with the guy at the comic shop about the first issue of Sandman. He told me he wasn't going to sell it to me because I was too little.
What?
And he didn't want my dad to come back and yell at him. And I said, he won't, which is true. My mom and dad didn't censor me like that. I said, just give me the book and I'll buy an Archie. And he said, okay, but if your dad comes back in here, I'm canceling
game
your whole file.
Game over.
So, yeah. And then I cut, do you remember this? I cut the subscription card out of the back of the issue of Sandman, got my mother to write me a check, and it came to my mailbox.
Wow.
I know. I had every single issue, and Neil loved that, but he really loved, we cut class to go get Sandman 75. We totally, sorry, Mom, we blew off school.
Rightfully so.
We blew off school in the morning, and we're waiting there when they open the shop, and we bought the first issues in our little town.
I'm upset that in my collection, I actually have a hole, and Lucifer is in that hole. I don't have Lucifer's first appearance.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, like most girls, there's a bad guy in my past, and he was kind of an idiot, and when he got mad and trashed my stuff, he didn't understand comics, so he trashed issues 2 through 74, but left 1 and 75 intact.
Oh, okay.
So I'm on a mission to rebuild that, because that's my hole. I'm missing single issues of Sandman.
Do you still have your original cutout copy?
No, I don't.
We do need to find it.
That'd be fun. Yeah. Gym. But Neil loved that story, and during that meeting, he showed several people, mostly backstage people, the early intro for Good Omens. That was before Good Omens came out. And he's just a sheer delight. He's everything that you expect him to be, and I love him for that.
Very proper English gentleman.
Yes, he's lovely, and his team is lovely, and I am so lucky to have gotten to work with them and to, you know, to get to interact with them.
Mm.
Okay. Can't wait to have you on the show, Neil. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, my God. If Neil would be on the show, dude, I'd lose my mind. I'd be like, oh, be perfect. Yes.
Winston wants Neil on the show, too.
We'll take Neil long before Tim Burton. Tim Burton can eat a warm bowl. Neil, yes.
Yeah, he's great. I just, you know, with what we do, and you experience this, too, at the cons or working at the bookstore, we're just in such a privileged position to meet our influences and our idols and great artists.
I know.
We were talking earlier about different comic artists that we've met and what they do. And it's so amazing. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity.
And it's fun because sometimes I have to compare stories because you get an experience with one author or artist.
Yeah.
That's less than complimentary. Mm-hmm. And then to hear the same story from someone else kind of validates the already stern opinion you have of a certain individual.
Yeah.
And we're not naming names. And no, we're not talking about Neil Adams this time. But there are other creators out there that you're all like, you're a dick. But there's just as an equal balance as far as like great creators.
Yeah. I'm going to defend Neil Adams for a minute because he was super nice to my mom.
I've gotten good Neil. I've gotten bad Neil. I've gotten low blood sugar Neil, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. You never know what you're going to get with him. You really don't.
No. My mom went on the road with me to Phoenix one time.
Right.
And we set up and I was just making the round. I mean, you know, you set up your booth and then you go see who's around.
Right.
And
pre-con deals.
Yeah.
No, I'm all there.
So we were just making the rounds and saying hi. And my mom walks up because Neil's got that big brick backdrop and neon, and it's you can't miss it.
No.
And my mom actually walks up to Neil Adams while I was distracted. I was talking to Steam Crow at the time.
Of course. It's a better conversation, I'm sure.
My mom says, "Oh, what do you do?" And I realized I heard her voice and I turned around and it was just like one of those no. But he was so delightful to her, and he asks for her when we see each other on the road. He's like, "Hey, how's your mom doing?" And so I love him for that.
Oh my God, he can't remember Mike Grail, who he's worked with, and he remembers your mom.
Well, I go around with pink hair. I mean, I kind of stand out.
All right, I can argue that.
Yeah, he's. I don't think that he knows our names or anything, but he remembers. He was so nice, and his wife was really nice to my mom too, and so I just love everyone who's nice to my mom.
No, you got to. Yeah.
And Ray Park was nice to my kid.
Ray Park is great. I love Ray.
And so, you know, Ray could do just about anything, and I'd be like, yay, so great. Yeah,
love Ray.
If you're
Ray's
nice
great.
To my kid and my mom, we'll be best friends.
Do you got any more questions?
My questions are how do I sign up for that first piece of Captain America scale armor commission? I want to get on that bandwagon.
Okay, well, I'm going to need your wife to be present because I'm going to have to take some measurements.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we'll do some measuring and... I don't sketch. I don't have the capacity to draw at all, not even stick figures. So when I do things like that, I totally freehand it. I just make it as I go.
Wow. Okay.
She's also my sugar mama. Perfect.
So, yeah.
Super dig that idea.
Yeah.
How can we find your product? That's my biggest.
Oh,
how do we get a hold of this?
I'm online. I recently converted to a Linktree account, which is a lifesaver. So we're Linktree/Suzy Q's, and I'll give you that. And
yeah, because we have your link every time we post.
Yeah,
we've got SuzyQ's.com right there.
Bing. And I am so excited to get back to work. I know everybody is. I know this year has been super hard for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody said it best. One of my friends said it. We're not all in the same boat, but we are all in the same ocean.
Yes.
So I'm really looking forward to getting back to work. I'm hoping.
Do you have your first con planned yet?
We're still talking to Emerald City through obviously no fault of their own. They have to limit the floor size. They're hoping to go in December. Because
they're like 1 week before Chicago.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a separation. So it's either, and it's the same company. So I think they honestly did this on purpose. You're either doing the East Coast or the West Coast for their con.
We did both. Mm. We did both. We were scheduled to do both last year, and that was going to be a stretch. I came home from C2E2 and was supposed to be home for 2 days before we hit the road again.
Yep. I was in that same boat. We had that conversation.
Yeah. And there was, for a minute, Jeremy and I were talking about maybe just I should just drive to Seattle because there was so little point in coming home again. But then they closed the show with good reason. And so I'm hoping to be back in Seattle in December. And I'm waiting to hear back from Starfest because they're my home show.
We're hoping because with Denver Comic Con getting bought out by FanX, they're thinking that they may move to April.
Oh no!
Yeah, and that's a big Starfest's
Yeah.
Slot.
Yeah, that is they are always like right around Easter, Passover time, right there in April. Usually it was like on my birthday. It always worked out really well because my birthday is in April 18th, and it always was like within a week or with that weekend, and it just kind of worked out really well. But that is the rumor that I heard next year.
Oh, yeah,
FanX is looking at April, and we may see the beginning of the end for a Starfest, which I hope not, because that's like you. I've been doing that con since the 80s.
What if we just support them and not Fan Expo?
You know, that may not be a hard thing to do because we don't know what Fan X is going to bring. Right? But, yeah. I mean, I don't want...
I'm new to this.
All those years.
Don't take anything I say with merit.
Yeah, I need to... I ideally would like to do both.
Absolutely.
We love doing Starfest. That's where we got our start all those years ago. And that's where our family is. And it's, you know, I love that weekend because we set up the booth and then hang out and drink beer with our friends.
Pretty much.
It's not like, not that it's ever work, but that's even less like work.
It's more. We oddly enough drink more at Starfest.
We do. Do you know?
Like
I love Starfest. So, you know, during Starfest, you come to the booth and we're drinking beers and eating crackers, and that's just how we go. But yeah,
Red and I got our adult sippy cups.
Yeah,
I have my hand sanitizer.
You just have to move with authority.
That's all you have to do. Act like you know where you're going. That's all that matters.
I don't hide anything. I march right in there with two beers, and the poor little security teen is like, wait, no, bye.
Bye. I know where I'm going. We'll see you later.
Batman giving it to Robin.
So what do you have coming next? Do you have anything not here that you're working on that you're going to be unveiling soon?
I do. If you've been reading my blog, we started, there's going to be an update this afternoon, actually, about the cocktail dress project. I started making a cocktail dress, and I threw up some inspo. It was a Jennifer Lawrence Dior dress. I'm not ripping off Dior, though.
It's kind of hard to rip off Dior, but yeah.
It is. So I'm working on that, and then I guess we're going to start PJ's project.
Yes.
And
Star-Lord doesn't wear any armor.
Doesn't wear armor. But that cap uniform with the scales, that's
that would be
rad.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That would be impressive.
So that's what we've got.
Disney.
Yeah.
This is how you do cosplay.
This is how you cast for costume design.
Yeah, screw U.S. agent. Hate that guy.
Yeah, I've been having that grumble too. And Jeremy's not as into comics as I am, and so we have like this weekly lecture about...
He's starting to, if you guys watched last night's episode, he's starting to slightly...
He's snap a little bit.
Take off that outer...
Yeah. That inner asshole is starting to come out.
Well, I went for 25 minutes about his traditional villain, which they name dropped in last night's episode. So,
So excited when they did that.
Sorry. Like, you edited that out too.
Wait, what? What?
Yeah. I was, and that young woman, every time we see her, she's beating someone up. She beat up Han Solo a few Star Wars movies back.
Yes.
She beat up
what was,
Bucky.
Yeah, what
I love
was
her.
Infant's Nest.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
I kept looking at her going, damn, she just did. That's all I could see. You're right. All I could see is her whooping at Solo's ass. And I'm just like, okay, fair enough.
That look, you know. Here it comes.
All right. Well, we're going to do a pan of the table so they can go and check you out at SusieQs.com. Instagram.
Yep.
Facebook.
We've got a website and a blog. Yeah.
That's everything.
And all that jazz.
So go out, reach out, and touch something pretty. Because that's what they are all about. We will see you out in the con circuit. You have now met our sponsor, who we love dearly, near and great, because she feeds us. And I guess that kind of covers it. So we out. We're out.
Like you,
run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.